If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Well, 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 welcome in to another edition of the Next Pats podcast. We continue to chug along with this thing as we get ever closer to draft weekend. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks for sticking with us all off season, all pre-draft process. We're almost there. We are almost there. And today, I think we have a really interesting episode for you because we're going to talk philosophy. We're going to dive deep on draft approaches. What's the right way to look at this thing? How much do you think about the future? How much do you think about 2020 and beyond? How much is the team's next quarterback after Tom Brady in mind as you approach the 2019 draft? We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be hearing from NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah, former scout, still incredibly plugged in NFL circles. Had a chance to ask him about draft philosophy on a conference call he did with reporters across the country. We're going to bring him in for that answer. We're also going to tap into something Nick Caserio said this offseason as it relates to approaching the draft. We're also going to be talking prototypes. We are really in the thick of our prototypical Patriots series. We've been doing this the last handful of years. Now we're really looking at every position on the field and looking at Bill Belichick's draft history here in New England. We're trying to match up traits. We're even looking at some of the free agents that the Patriots have brought in. What do these players look like? How athletic are they? What are their numbers in terms of the 40, the three cone drill, the short shuttle? We're really in the middle of that, and we're going to be talking about some of the prototypes at positions that we're really focused on, whether it's quarterback, receiver, tight end. We want to hit you with some of those, and then we're going to get into our most recent seven-round Patriot-specific mock draft. This is the fifth that we have done this offseason. It's loaded with prototypes across the board, Patriots prototypes, in terms of what they're looking for athletically, and also some of the stuff they're looking for off the field in the locker room. That's going to be an interesting exercise as well, because we're throwing a bunch of new names at you. There's a familiar name at the very top, but once again, the rest of the draft, we're trying to give you all new names. So 5 7-round mock drafts this offseason, new picks with every Patriots selection save for two. We've had TJ Hawkinson go to the Patriots in two of these mock drafts right at the top of the draft. And we're going to have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the safety from Florida. This is now the second time that I will have mocked Gardner-Johnson to the Patriots. He's obviously a prototype at that safety position. But other than that, all new names, so make sure you stick around for that. But let's start with the draft philosophy, with the approach. In my most recent mock draft, I have the Patriots trading down from 32 to 43. A, because the depth in this draft is pretty significant from the middle of the first round, maybe even a little bit before that, through most of the second round. So why pick at 32 if you can get a similarly talented player at number 43? And if you can add draft capital for 2020, when the draft class at quarterback is a little bit stronger, why not do that? And so that's what I have the Patriots doing. They trade back from 32 to 43. They pick up a second round pick for 2020. And now you're looking at it. The Patriots have their first round pick in 2020. They have 2 seconds. They're looking like they're going to have 3/3. And once again, for the second year in a row, you're looking at having 6 picks in the top 100 or so. That allows you to be such a significant player in the draft, whether you want to move up, whether you want to trade into the next year again. I mean, the Patriots could do this in perpetuity. We know they need a quarterback. It's unlikely, I think, that a Jimmy Garoppolo type falls to them again at the bottom of the second round. They may have to be willing to compile a bunch of these picks together, pick at the top of the first round or close to the top of the first round, and get their next guy. The question is that next year? And particularly with the draft being so deep, the bottom of the first round and into the second this year, might we see teams, including the Patriots, try to trade out of their spot in the first round, pick up draft capital for next year, and be in the quarterback mix next year? Justin Herbert from Oregon, Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama, Jake Fromm from Georgia. These guys all look like potential franchise quarterbacks. Are we going to be seeing teams do that this draft weekend? I don't know, but I asked Daniel Jeremiah on his conference call this week, and here's what he had to say.
I mean, look, it's always a little bit dangerous when you start, you know, talking about what next year is going to bring. We never know. But on the surface, from what I've seen, I think there's more high-end talent, you know, consistent high-end talent. I can't speak to the depth of what next year looks like. And so that's always risky when you're putting all your eggs in that basket. And if you don't end up with the top two picks, you don't get a shot at those guys. So that's the tricky part about next year and trying to acquire some picks.
The reason I feel like it's so critical to highlight those comments from Daniel is, again, this is a guy who has a lot of NFL experience. And I think he reflects how the NFL feels about the draft, which is it's really hard to figure out not only what the players in this year's class are going to be, it's incredibly difficult to figure out what the players in next year's class are going to be. So much can happen. If you look at this a year ago today, did anyone know Kyler Murray was as good as he is? Did anyone think he would even be available in this year's draft? I think the answers to that would be no. And now it looks like he might be the first overall pick. So things can change in a heartbeat. I think that was the core of what Daniel was trying to get at with those comments. Really difficult to plan ahead, even though we think and we know the Patriots are looking ahead. Bill Belichick says this all the time. We're going to have a team in 2020. We're going to have a team in 2021, 2022. So they know that. They know they have to plan for the future. But rolling the dice on a draft class because you're going to assume that you're going to be able to get the next franchise guy, that's a difficult proposition. And that leads us into what Nick Caserio, director of player personnel for the Patriots, said at this year's Combine. And I wanted to bring up these comments because I think they may have gotten a little bit lost in the shuffle. The Patriots are, unlike most teams at the Combine, where they don't have their head coach or their general manager. I mean, Bill Belichick is the guy in both cases there. But neither Belichick nor Nick Caserio spoke to the media at large during the Combine. And so we've spoken to Belichick since then. But I think Caserio's comments, and he met with Patriots.com. He's done this for the last few years. Now he spoke to Megan O'Brien. I think there was one really interesting answer that I want to point out here because I'm not sure it got much play at the time. And so we'll bring it up here when we're talking about draft strategy, draft philosophy, balancing the here and now versus your franchise's future. And he was asked about the future of the team and roster building and how you factor everything in to make sure that you're set up for now, but also for later, especially. And it was a good job by Megan O'Brien running the interview, especially with the quarterback being in his early 40s. It's a relevant conversation. So here's what Nick Caserio had to say. Quote, the most important thing for us is to try to put together the best team for that year. There's a lot of factors that go into it. Tom has played at a high level for a long period of time now. The expectation is he's going to come back. He's going to play. The most important thing for us, look, we have to put together the best team we possibly can for that season. There's some short-term things we have to factor in and some bigger picture things. But if you lose sight of the ultimate goal, which is we're trying to put together a real good team for this year and trying to prepare for the 2019 season, then that can lead to some poor decision-making. You always want to make good decisions, smart decisions for the team, for the organization. However the players get here, whoever they are, that's ultimately our responsibility and our job to try to do that to the best of our ability. End quote. In short, you don't want to put yourself in a bad position by putting too much weight on looking ahead. It's about being great right now, and especially where the Patriots are, and now this is me reading into Caserio's comments, but having a quarterback with a window of championship play that is going to eventually close, and having a roster that is on the older end when compared to other rosters across the league, and we've talked about this quite a bit over the course of the last few weeks and months. You can go back to our Next Pats podcast with Kevin Clark from The Ringer, and we talk about why the Patriots are old. Mark Domenech, former Bucs GM. Why are they old? Why might that benefit them? Why are they okay with it? But part of having a team like that is trying to capitalize. Just won a Super Bowl. You think you have a chance to be back? You want to be great right now. And so maybe, just maybe, my most recent mock, where I have them trading out of number 32 back to 43 to get a second round pick for 2020, maybe that doesn't fall in line with that line of thinking. Maybe they want to pick a player if Jerry Tillery from Notre Dame, the defensive lineman who looks ready to go, is available at 32. Maybe you want to go get him. Dexter Lawrence, huge 350-pound defensive tackle who's a freak athlete with really long arms. He could play for you right away and probably be really good. Maybe you want to just sit there, take that player, and let the draft fall as it may, because you want to be really good for 2019. And if you're trading back to add a pick for next year, banking on next year's quarterback crop being as good as we think it's going to be, that can lead to, as Nick Caserio put it, some poor decision making. So I thought that was really interesting to bring up now, based on where my most recent mock is and some of the things being said by people who have spent a lot of time in the league, whether it's Caserio or Daniel Jeremiah, and just the uncertainty that exists in 2020 and beyond. Now let's get into some of our prototypes. We're going to blow through these really quickly because we do want to get into some of the other selections made in our most recent seven-round Patriots-specific mock. And I think it's important, again, to bring up the quarterbacks, because whether they're looking at a quarterback this year or next year, the guy they're going to draft, I believe, is going to be from the quote-unquote prototype mold. They have a type when it comes to quarterback. This isn't like the receiver position where there are multiple roles within that receiver room, and you're going to have guys that are 5'10". You're also going to have guys that are 6'2 or 6'3 and 30 pounds heavier. This isn't even like tight end where you have your move tight ends, your H-backs, and your classic Ys. It's not like your offensive line room, different body types. At the quarterback position, the Patriots have drafted relatively similar players. In general, they want guys that have played at least 3 years of college football and that have been in college for 4 years. So they have had guys that have transferred that have maybe sat out a year. Ryan Mallett is a good example of that. But a lot of the guys they've drafted are seniors. Jimmy Garoppolo, great example. That's the highest selection that the Patriots have made at quarterback with Bill Belichick at the helm. Second round pick, played all 4 years, put up insane production, and the Patriots want really, really good production. They're looking for guys that have 7.5 yards per attempt, 60% completions, 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio in general. You can be a shade below those marks, but those are the standards in general. And in general, they like guys that have played in Power 5 conferences. Start with Brady and work your way all the way down. Jimmy Garoppolo, a little bit of an exception there, obviously. This was an FCS player at Eastern Illinois, but the best FCS player his senior year, won the FCS Heisman, then goes to the Senior Bowl where he plays against some of the best competition in the country and absolutely lights it up. And they obviously met with him during the pre-draft process. They get a chance to see how he's thinking. They get a chance to understand how he makes decisions on the field. And so all of that goes into a player profile. But aside from the level of competition that Jimmy Garoppolo faced, and maybe aside from the height in general, they have had guys that have been 6'3 or taller. Jimmy Garoppolo is 6'2. The hand size might not be ideal for Jimmy Garoppolo, but you can get away with some of those things if you have a pretty strong arm, which Garoppolo did and still does. Really quick release. Showed an ability to make all the throws. Showed an ability to think quickly. You can do those things. You're still going to work your way into the prototype conversation. And at quarterback this year, the prototype, the guy, checks every single box, is Ryan Finley. from NC State. He's got the height. He has the hand size. He has the production in a Power 5 conference. He has the experience level. One of the oldest players in this draft. 6 years in college. Is that enough experience for you? Is that enough life experience for you? If you're looking for guys that are a little bit on the more mature end, spend some time at Boise State, transfers, red shirts mixed in there, and all of a sudden you have a guy who spent a lot of time in college but had a really productive career. Arm strength isn't great. He's not the athlete Garoppolo was. The accuracy is really good. It's not awesome when he's moved off his spot, but he is the prototype at this position. And so if the Patriots wanted to wait, they wanted to wait on a quarterback, and they wanted to take a guy in the middle rounds, I would think Finley is the guy. But we had Daniel Jeremiah on the horn, and so I asked him if he could rate some of these quarterbacks that we've been talking about the last few weeks here that are in that second tier that the Patriots are interested in. And the names I mentioned were Daniel Jones from Duke, Ryan Finley from NC State, and Jarrett Stidham from Auburn. They have shown varying levels of interest in all three of these players. Nick Caserio, as you'll hear Daniel mention, was at NC State's pro day, getting a closer look at Ryan Finley. Jones and Stidham, meanwhile, have both reportedly made visits to Gillette Stadium. So they are doing their homework on these guys. More so than last year, I believe. A lot of talk. We spent a lot of time on Kyle Laletta, right? He was one of those guys in that second tier. We knew there were going to be a handful of first-round quarterbacks. Boy, did we spend so much time on Kyle Laletta. Patriots didn't really show a whole lot of interest in Kyle Laletta. They had a scout at his pro day. That was about it from as far as we could gather. Remember talking to him at the combine last year, and Patriots didn't really make any moves, so we waited. Did he make a visit? I don't think so. Well, did McDaniel show up at his pro day, or Nick Caserio show up at his pro day? Bill Belichick? Not really. But this year is a different story. So I asked Daniel Jeremiah to rank those three quarterbacks. A lot of people will have Will Greer in that same mix, and Mark Schofield, who was with us last week, does a great job studying these quarterbacks. He actually, when given the choice with a third round pick between Jones, Greer, and Brett Rippon, who's his guy, I think we had Finley in there as well. I think he ended up going with Will Greer, Will the Thrill. I took Greer out of the conversation when asking Daniel. I just don't know if he fits in all the right ways. From some of the people I've spoken to, I know the Patriots have, again, shown interest in a variety of different ways in that player this offseason. I'm just not incredibly confident that he's as strong a fit as these other three. Even Jarrett Stidham, whose college career very up and down, and you're going to hear Daniel say some fascinating things about Stidham. But that's why Greer's not part of that group that I asked Jeremiah to rank. I asked him to rank Jones, Finley, Stidham. Which are the best fits for the Patriots? And here's what he had to say.
In terms of those guys with the Patriots, I'd have them just like you listed them. Jones, to me, I don't think he'll be there. Finley is, somebody that when I was at his pro day and Nick Caserio was there taking a look at him. And look, he operates the way they like to operate. He's smart. He's efficient. He gets the ball out of his hand quick. I think he fits offensively what Josh McDaniels wants to do and likes to do. I think he'd be a good fit there. Stidham is he's one of the true wild cards because he spins it as well or better than anybody in this entire draft class. In shorts, he'd be a top five pick. Unfortunately, it hasn't clicked on the field like you'd want it to see at Auburn. Some of that is the lack of protection. Some of it is an offensive system that's not great for him. But just throwing the football, he's a great athlete. I think it's going to take a little bit of time to develop him. But I could make a case he makes a lot of sense for the Patriots because they've got a little bit of time. No pun intended with Tom there. He's not going anywhere right now. So that would give you a chance to really develop a guy like this with a potential huge upside. It really as much upside as any quarterback in the draft class. Stidham's very talented. So that might be a risk worth taking.
Okay, so there you have it. All three of those players made our prototypical Patriots list at quarterback. But I think it's interesting to hear him go through the list himself. And if Daniel Jones is gone in the first round, which I think a lot of us feel he will be, even if his skill set doesn't necessarily scream first rounder, then maybe it's Ryan Finley that the Patriots end up going with in that third, fourth round area. As far as prototypes, some of these other positions we've been talking about really quickly, receiver, Terry McLaurin, Miles Boykin, those are the two names that stand out first and foremost as outside the numbers types because of their speed, because of their quickness, the three cone times, the short shuttle times, off the charts. Their size is good. Miles Boykin's size is great. Those are guys that I would look at in terms of physical profiles being perfect fits for the Patriots. We've talked about both those players quite a bit. On the interior, Paris Campbell is an elite, elite change of direction athlete. He's somebody that I think would be hard to pass up on late in the second round, even though he's really an unrefined route runner. I think his athleticism is so good that if he was there in the mid-50s, early 60s in this year's draft, that the Patriots might jump at the chance to take him and use him on the interior. An elite short shuttle time. At tight end, the prototypes, obviously TJ Hockenson, obviously Noah Fant. Anytime you're talking about prototype, Noah Fant's going to be in the conversation because he's such a physical freak. Foster Moreau, to me, is a name that we need to be talking about more because the frame is good. The movement skills are there. He was not used all that often at LSU as a receiver, but he was moved all over the formation, comfortable blocking on the move. I think he could be an H-back type if you wanted him to be, but he can also block in line. And so if you want to use two tight ends on the field, Austin Seferian-Jenkins and Foster Moreau together, you could do that. If Austin Seferian-Jenkins doesn't make the team and he doesn't have much in the way of guarantees, then Foster Moreau, I think, could be your guy in line. I think he is a really effective run blocker. And again, I think he has the athleticism to produce as a receiver if given the opportunity. So he, to me, between the physical profile, the off-the-field stuff, really renowned as a leader, a humble player, the team recognized him for that. I think he is one of the best fits, period, across positions for the Patriots. You add in where you might be able to get him in the draft in the middle to late rounds, he seems like a perfect Patriot. Okay, and with that, let us jump right into our most recent Patriot-specific seven-round mock draft. You can find this thing on NBCSportsBoston.com. You can find it on the My Teams app. Go ahead and check this thing out. I really wanted to load up on prototypes in this mock because we are right in the middle of focusing on all these quote-unquote prototypes that fit the Patriots system, that fit the profiles athletically. And so we start with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You already knew that. He is a Patrick Chung type in terms of the size, in terms of the athleticism. Very similar numbers in terms of height, weight, and speed. I think they're pretty similar in terms of their playing style as well. In 2018, Gardner-Johnson was somebody who played close to the line of scrimmage, blitzed like a banshee, was somebody who could cover tight ends, could cover running backs, really willing to mix it up in the running game. 2017, he was more of a free safety, made more plays on the ball. His tackling wasn't great in 2017, but it looked like he fixed that in 2018. So to me, this is an ascending player with some really good versatility. You could use him all over the secondary, like Chung. And I know Chung just signed another extension, but at some point, you're going to need players like that, and you may need two right now. You want somebody that can cover tight ends as well as running backs. Can't have Patrick Chung do it all. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is the guy for me at number 43. Again, they traded with the Lions into the second round. Number 56, Caleb McGarry. He is right at the top of the list in terms of offensive line prototypes this year. 6'7", 315 pounds, incredible athlete, basically a 5-flat 40 time. The quickness off the charts, great explosiveness that's reflected in his jumps. At number 56, and this is what I did, I went through the Draft Network's mock draft simulator. They do a great job over there. We had Trevor Sikkema on earlier this offseason to talk draft and to talk about Adam Humphries when Adam Humphries was a guy that was floating around as a free agent, because Trevor covers not only the draft, but he also covers the Tampa Bay Bucks for the Pewter Report. And they do a great job over there. So if you haven't seen their mock draft simulator, go check that out. But at number 56, had the ability to take Titus Howard from Alabama State, Greg Little from Ole Miss, guys that would potentially fit the Patriots mold. They could be their swing tackle in 2019 and maybe be a starting tackle in 2020. going to be some shakeup on this offensive line the next couple of years. Joe Tooney's going to be a free agent after next season. Maybe you bump Isaiah Wynn into left guard, and maybe you need somebody to be your left tackle of the future, or Marcus Cannon. I mean, he's a veteran guy. He's getting up there. Maybe you need somebody to play on that right side. So never a bad idea to load up on tackles. So you pass up the opportunity to add a receiver or a tight end at 56, and you add a tackle. I think that says a lot about where the Patriots are as a team too, right? Caleb McGarry, really good run blocker. That's where the Patriots are right now in their offense. They look like a run-heavy team, so he could potentially help you this season and help you a ton beyond. Number 64, it's the Patriots' second pick in the second round. I went with Emmanuel Hall, the receiver out of Missouri. Good size, incredible explosiveness. Like, through-the-roof numbers, off-the-charts numbers when it comes to the jumps, up over 40 inches in the vertical, and outside the numbers threat, great, great speed. I've seen comparisons to Mike Wallace, longtime Steeler, was with the Ravens, bounced around the league a little bit, but elite speed, elite explosiveness. The hands are not great, going to be honest with you guys. And so for him to be the first receiver to the Patriots in this mock draft might be a little bit concerning, because you pass up the opportunity to get one at 43, you pass up the opportunity to get one at 56. It is a deep receiver class. We're going to see that later in this mock. But if you wait till 64, Emmanuel Hall might be the best available. Terry McLaurin may be gone. Paris Campbell is going to be gone. Deebo Samuel is going to be gone. A.J. Brown, gone. So I wanted to make sure that I got the Patriots an elite athlete at number 64 at that receiver position, and Emmanuel Hall was the best of the rest. At number 73, the Patriots go tight end here. It ain't T.J. Hockenson. He's long gone. It ain't Noah Fant. And it's not Jace Sternberger, who is available here. But I went with Dawson Knox. And I really like Jace Sternberger. He's on the list of prototypical Patriots at tight end. But the reason he's on that list is more so because he's an SEC player who put up ridiculous production. And he is as refined a route runner as maybe there is in this draft class at that position. Athletically, while solid, he is not quite meeting the marks that the Patriots typically look for, especially relatively early in the draft here. So we're still first three rounds. Jace Sternberger, not the athlete that Dawson Knox is, period, point blank. Dawson Knox ran about a 4.5 at 6'4", 250 pounds. That's almost, you know, in terms of straight line speed, you're almost talking Noah Fant numbers there. Okay, and so the quickness is very solid as well. The jumps are good. I think Dawson Knox has a long way to go as a receiver. Too many double catches from what I've seen in the tape that I've watched. Doesn't make a ton of contested catches. He has the ability to. The frame is good. The athleticism is great. He's a smart guy. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's a former walk-on. Came to college as a quarterback. Transitions to tight end and turns himself into a really good player and a powerful athlete and someone who is going to attack all levels of the field, I think, at the next level because of his athleticism, but didn't always have the chance to show it at Ole Miss. A lot of mouths to feed there at Ole Miss in that passing game, and he didn't make a ton of plays. I think if all of a sudden DK Metcalf is removed from that equation or A.J. Brown is removed from that equation, he becomes one of the focal points of that offense, and he becomes like a rock solid second round pick, or maybe we're even talking about him in the first round. So I give the Patriots Dawson Knox out of Ole Miss at number 73. Number 97, we're still in the third round here. Patriots go corner. Could you see this happening? I know I'm having a hard time envisioning it myself because corner is the deepest position on the roster as it currently stands. But a lot of buzz linking Juwan Williams from Vanderbilt, the massive corner. Just if you're looking for size and length and somebody that's going to be able to check some of these bigger wide receivers that are all over the NFL these days, as Bill Belichick explained in a recent press conference, you might want somebody who's 6'4", 211 pounds. And that's what Juwan Williams is. Bill Belichick loves the Vanderbilt program. That is why he is a prototypical Patriot. The quickness is also incredibly good for somebody of his size. Almost four flat in the short shuttle. That's really good change of direction skills for somebody with that kind of length. The 4.64 40 is not great. Supposedly ran a 4.55 at his pro day. That's better. But if he's playing some of these bigger receivers who aren't incredibly fast straight down the field, you know, your N'Keal Harrys, your Hakeem Butlers, these guys are about in that 4 or 5 range. That's perfectly fine. At number 101, this is their last pick in the third round, compensatory pick. They go Kalen Sanders. This is over Darius Slayton. You know, there's a couple of other receivers you might think about here. Slayton is the kid out of Auburn, played with Jarrett Stidham. Great speed, another 4.3 guy, another deep threat outside the numbers threat. But I went defensive tackle here because Kalen Sanders is rare. 320 plus pounds with elite explosion ability in terms of the jumps. I think this is somebody who, while he still could get stronger, he has the frame to hold up on the interior of the Patriots defense. They love these 320 plus pound guys, and they want to be able to just plop these big bodies in the middle of the line, eat up space, and if you're an athlete to boot, which Sanders is, all the better. 121 inch broad jump is incredible for somebody that size. And then he goes to the Senior Bowl. He's out of Western Illinois. So you're saying, okay, well, how good was he at Western Illinois that the Patriots might take him in the third round? Well, he goes to the Senior Bowl, and according to Pro Football Focus, down in Mobile, he won all 7 of his pass protection reps against guys that we're talking about maybe being first rounders. Garrett Bradbury, NC State. Chris Lindstrom from BC. Eric McCoy, Texas A&M. These are guys that are really, really solid offensive linemen, and that's why you go to the Senior Bowl if you're Kalen Sanders. That's what you're looking for if you're the Patriots or if you're any of these teams. Small school guys that have the chance to play against better competition and then excel? Yes, it's only a few days of practice and it's one game, but you can really take a lot from that when they get that one opportunity and they make the most of it. At number 134, rapid fire here, Anthony Nelson, the edge out of Iowa, big body, somebody who is going to two gap, somebody who's going to set the edge, 6'7", 271, 35 and a half inch vertical. Number 205, the Patriots go linebacker, Dre Greenlaw out of Arkansas. Now, interesting case here because we're talking prototypes, not at all the physical prototype. 5'11", 237 pounds, not that big thumper that the Patriots usually like at the second level. 4'7", 340. It's good, not amazing. What makes Greenlaw a prototype, I think, is some of the character stuff that he would bring you. We're talking pick number 205. This is the end of the draft, the end of day 3. Played for Brett Bielema at Arkansas. Somebody who I think would probably, if given the opportunity, pound the table to bring this guy in because Greenlaw was a captain at Arkansas. Somebody who's been through a lot in his life. Grew up in the foster care system. Was eventually adopted by one of his high school assistant coaches. But somebody who is just absolutely renowned as a leader, a worker, somebody who will do everything, absolutely everything asked of him at the next level. And somebody who, you know, he's not just a good guy, by all accounts, somebody who could be sort of a special teams demon for you. He is a pretty good athlete for his size. And maybe eventually down the line, he fills in a Landon Roberts type of role for you. You might not want him in coverage necessarily snap to snap, but somebody who is tough, hard-nosed, and going to give you maybe some value on first and second downs if you need him to play in that role, and definitely on fourth down. Pick number 239, we're going Jesse Anabonham. Jesse Anabonham, the edge defender out of Maryland. I love the fact that the Patriots have reportedly shown some interest in this player, someone who was dominant as a sophomore at Maryland, 9 sacks, 14 tackles for loss 2 years ago. Then he breaks his ankle. And then last season, it looks like maybe at times he's still kind of working his way back from that. Only 2 sacks last year. But listen to these numbers. 6'3", 258 pounds, ran a 4.6640, and jumped 123 inches in the broad jump at his pro day. Last few picks here. Nick Easley, the slot receiver out of Iowa. Again, you can listen to Chris Doyle go on and on about Nick Easley, a former community college player, was a sophomore captain in community college, ends up getting to Iowa, is added to the leadership group there as a senior. I would not be surprised if they ended up using a day 2 pick on Nick Easley. I really mean that. He's not slated to go any higher than the 7th round in any of the mocks or any of the projections I've seen, but the Patriots have obviously been interested in interior receivers, slot receivers, and if they think this kid can do it, he's coming from a program they love. He's got a great background. The athleticism is off the charts. The size is good. why not spend a day two pick on this guy? So I may be too low on Nick Easley. Number 246, two more picks here. Alex Barnes, running back out of Kansas State, another freaky athlete, maybe the best combination of size and athleticism at this position in this year's draft. And with the last pick, number 252, we're actually going to be bringing back a name that we brought up with Emory Hunt from the Football Game Plan, The Athletic. We had him on to talk about diamonds in the rough. This is what we're talking about here. Seventh round picks from smaller schools. And we're talking about Simbo Webster, wide receiver, slot guy, returner from Eastern Washington, 4.440 at his pro day. The Patriots were there. 6.7 time in the three cone. That is really, really good. Great production at Eastern Washington. Really good return man. 5.10, 180. I've made the comp to Troy Brown because, you know, I don't know if we're looking at pro day 40 times, Webster 4.4, you know, maybe that gets a little bit of a bump because it's on his home turf there. So maybe he's closer to a 4.5 guy. And at that size and with that background coming from a smaller school, pretty similar to Troy, Patriots legend. I'm not saying he's going to have the career Troy Brown had, but that might be the kind of role you're looking at where he plays on the inside, you know, is a late round pick and ends up contributing for you because he can do multiple different things. You're going to want to keep an eye out for a draft special that we're going to be doing. Make sure you have that My Teams app and you're looking for updates on that thing. We're going to be doing that on the day of the draft. But until then, make sure you continue to listen to the pod. Please subscribe. Please tell your friends about it. We're going to keep pushing through all the way through the draft. We're going to be taking this into training camp. We're always talking about the roster, right? The roster's not set. It's really never set. But we're not cutting down to 53 guys until just before the season. So we're always going to have something to talk about when it comes to putting this roster together. Thanks again for listening, guys. Thanks for sticking with us here. And we'll talk to you very soon.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.